Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I hope you're happy to be in church today. I certainly am. Amen. It's a local church that changed my life. You might say, well, no, it was God that changed your life. Well, you're right. God did change my life, but he did it through the local church. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's why, you know, a lot of people, you know, we forget about the things that God, you know, God does a lot of wonderful things, but he does them through the methods that he's provided. Amen. Because God has always endeavored that we would be changed by the word. Amen. Of course, we read John 8:31-32 every week, you know, and that's, it's exciting to read those things. But, you know, I was, as I was just meditating on some things this morning, getting ready for service, and, you know, the Lord brought John 15:8 up to me, which, you know, says that, you know, he says, herein my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, amen. Now, that doesn't mean that you're, you know, that you're just automatically rich or that you have a big house or lots of cars or anything like that. It means it's kind of an all-encompassing thing, that you're life resembles a life that has been touched by God. Amen. And I love that. You know, I might be preaching on that soon. Well, maybe even the beginning of the first service of the year, you know, seems like that's the direction, at least right now, that we're going in. But, you know, God endeavors that we bear much fruit, that our lives are a reflection of his glory. Amen. And I just, that just stirs me up. It gets me excited because I want to, I'll tell you what it does. It doesn't make me want more stuff. It makes me want my life to reflect God's glory. Amen. Amen. Because I want people to look at my life and just say, now there is a man who walks with God. And we can tell by the way, and you should be a man or a woman that walks with God, and that, you know, that the people see that. Amen. Because, you know, a lot of people think that, you know, there's a lot of church growth methods out there. There's a lot of things that people think, well, you know, if we do this, we can grow the church. But just because you have a big church doesn't mean you have lots of fruit. Amen. And we have a good sized church. I'm well pleased with it. I believe that it's going to be bigger, that it's going to continue to grow. But, you know, the thing is that we find is that fruit is something that Jesus intended to remain. Amen. So true fruit remains. Glory to God. And I don't want to get in preaching something else, but it's just stuff that's on my heart, and I'm excited about it. Praise the Lord. You know, we have to keep a heart that's always excited for what God's doing, what God wants to do. Amen. Knowing this, that, you know, we could get into a stale religion if we wanted to, but we don't want to be stale religious people. We want to be people that are fresh and flourishing. Amen. You know, I love it when the Bible talks about Aaron's rod that was in the Ark of the Covenant. It was in the presence of the Lord, and the rod budded. Amen. It was a dead stick that budded, is essentially what it means. It started growing. Why? Because in the presence of God is life. It's flourishing. Amen. And there's always growth. Praise the Lord. And so we know that that's God's will. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, that's all free, no charge. Hallelujah. But we got a message to get into, so I might as well get into it now. Is that clock set there? Oh, okay, praise the Lord. I just didn't know if it was where it was supposed to be or not, but it was harder for me to read. Praise God, hallelujah. Today's message is throughway faith. Throughway faith, not on this TV, on this TV. Hallelujah. Huh? Yeah, that's true way faith, but we meant through way faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Through way faith. What is through way faith? Well, I got to thinking, this is where this message kind of was birthed out of. You know, I was recently, not on this road trip, but I was recently on a road trip. And, you know, we drove from California all the way to New York. Praise the Lord. Now, that's a long haul, in case you didn't know. And, you know, I even mentioned this before, that if you followed me on Instagram or whatever, you'd see, sometimes I'd post a picture, and, you know, a lot of people would see the picture, and they thought, oh, you know, that's neat. You're so blessed to be there. And it was. Amen. But, you know, the truth is about that trip was probably 99% of that trip was driving. It was just on a road. It was going from California to New York, you know, and we would see something and might pull over and stop and look at the world's largest ball of twine or something like that. But, you know, there, on that road trip, amen, there was a lot to see, but we didn't see most of it. Most of it, we were in the road. And then on the road. And then even further, you know, because we're in that time of year where everything gets dark at 2 p.m, you know. And so by 3 p.m, it was pitch dark. We couldn't see anything. So most of that driving was done at night as well. I'm not complaining, but I'm just stating a reality. You know, sometimes that things, we can see things in pictures or movies or whatever, and it can be glamorized, but we have to remember that sometimes, you know, when you want the good things, sometimes there's a price to pay. Amen. And so when I was thinking about this, I was thinking how most people live their lives. And I believe the Lord was showing me this, how most people live their lives. You know, they're always looking for something in the future. In other words, if you're on the road from New York or California California to New York, you're looking for New York. You know, for the most part, you may stop along the way, but if you're trying to get home, which we were, because even though we were on this trip on purpose, the point is we still wanted to get home. That was the end goal, amen? And so that's where our hearts were set. That's where our sights were set. But you know, if you get into a mindset sometimes, if you get on these throughways, if you're going somewhere, you know, it'll get you there faster, amen? But there's a lot of things in between here and there that you might miss along the way. And so often our faith is set on something way out in the future. Now listen, I'm not preaching a message of saying that you can't think about the future. We need to think about the future. Amen. But what this message is about slowing down and really focusing on what God's doing in your life right now. Your life might not be where you want it to be. Your life might not be at the place where you think it should be. Your life might not be at the place where God says that it should be, where God is taking you to. But we have to understand this, that where your life is, if you're in the will and plan of God, amen, if you are looking after God, then there are things to see right where you're at. There's blessing to gain right where you're at. You know, one of the things that I became aware of as I've grown older, you know, as I take steps towards middle age, praise the Lord, I've learned a bunch that I didn't know when I was in my 20s. Amen. And I was saying to my wife this morning, I love being in my 40s because my 40s are way better than my 20s, way better than my 30s. Why? Because I know something a little bit more now. You know, life is a little bit easier now because I've slowed down on some things and not slowed down because I'm weak or because I'm, you know, not as vibrant as I once was. Yeah, some things have changed in a way. But, you know, there's this thing that's put on age, this stigma that's put on age like it's some kind of bad thing. Praise the Lord. I mean, it's just the truth. But I don't look at age as a bad thing. We need to have respect for that. And we need to have honor for that. Even if you're in that place of age. If you have some age on you, have respect and honor for the fact that God has brought you this far. But my point is that we always are looking back on life and we're saying, oh, those were the good old days. That was when things were really good. But you know, when you were living it, a lot of times you weren't thinking it was good. You know, when I was living in my 20s, I have enough sobriety about it to look back at my 20s and think, man, it wasn't good. But there's some times where the devil will try to bring something up and I think, oh, you remember when you were able to do this or when you were able to do that and before this and before that. But you know, the thing is when you're in the moment so often, you lose sight of where you're at because your mind or your heart is always on something that yet hasn't come. You know, a lot of people talk about using their faith and they put their faith on something that they don't have yet. And I'm not saying that it's wrong to use your faith for things. Of course, you know, the Bible tells us that we are to do that. But our focus should never be what we don't have. Our focus should always be on what God's doing right now. Let's focus on what God's doing in our lives right now. And we're going to get to scripture here, but we're going to see that if we do that, we're actually a lot more blessed than what we think we are. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We get ourselves so set on where we are going or what we want to be that we miss what God is doing right now. Let's turn to Matthew 6:34. Praise the Lord. Now listen, by this message, I am not saying, I'm going to reiterate this, I am not saying that we don't set our sights on higher things, that we don't think about that God wants to do more than our lives or any of these things. No, we don't. You know, I was using this example. I was just telling my wife, you know, there's a certain thing that I want. I haven't really, you know, it's something I used to want, and then I kind of didn't want anymore, and then it just started stirring in me, and I just started something I wanted. I decided that I want, you know, and I was like, you know, but I don't set my faith. And I tell my wife every once in a while, this is coming, or you know, this thing is coming. I'm going to get it this year, I believe it, or something like that, you know. But I don't set my faith on it. I mean, I claim what I know that I believe that it's coming. But I don't have my faith on it. Like, I'm not believing God for it. I just trust that it's going to be here. Amen. And so often people, they want to use their faith on objects or things, not realizing that that's not where our focus should be. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Matthew 6:34, let's read it here. It says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Amen. Now I want to read this to you. Really, I want to read this to you in the Message Bible. I normally don't preach out of the Message Bible, but I just love how it says it here, and it's not inaccurate in any way. I don't know. Do we have it on here? I don't know if we can have. We do. Okay. It says, Matthew 6:34 in the Message, it says, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. I love that. I love how that says it. It makes it so clear, doesn't it? Don't get all fretted, worked up about what's going on or what may or may not. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow unless somebody's revealed it to you, unless the Lord's revealed it to you. But God, even if God reveals something to you, he doesn't reveal everything to us. You don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. You don't know what to look like. That's why the Bible says to trust in him, to trust God. And that's what we need to do. We need to get to the place where we are content and happy just trusting God where we're at. Listen, you know, there's so many things. We were kind of talking about this in the office right before church, but there's so many things in life that, you know, like in my own life that God, you know, I love how Pastor Mike, let me first say this. Pastor Michael shared this with me this last time he was here. He said, let life be your schoolhouse. Amen. And of course, that's a statement that we should all probably get and understand. But there's a lot of truth to that. And what I do is I allow the Lord to teach me through my life. You know, through everyday things in life. It doesn't matter where we're at. There's always a lesson to be learned. There's some kind of illustration that you can get out of it. But one of the things is, you know, I have very particular taste. My wife and I both do. And in our house, we like to decorate a certain way. We like to do things. We get ideas. We're both creative. And so we like to, you know, we like to change things. We like to freshen things up. And sometimes we get to a place that's kind of an impasse. And I don't mean with my wife, but a place where it's like, I know I want to do something, but I'm not quite sure what. Or I'm not quite sure how I want it to look. I've got some ideas. Yes, this looks cool, and this looks cool, and maybe you pull some pictures out of a magazine, or you go find some on the internet, or whatever. But you know what I found? That even in the small things, that if I allow myself to get all worked up and get all stressed out about even a small thing, that it just never seems to work out right. But if I allow the Lord to work in me, if I relax, if I put these things to practice. Now, of course, this is an example of something that you might think doesn't mean anything. Maybe decorating your house doesn't mean anything to you. But this is just a small thing in life that you can learn a spiritual principle on. Amen? I've learned to step back and just allow God to work it out in me. You know, the Bible says that a righteous man's steps are ordered of the Lord. I believe that, amen? And I tell God that. I tell God that I believe that. I say, Lord, when I get frustrated, I'm like, Lord, you order my steps. That's part of what you do. Because I'm living after you, that means I'm righteous. Because I'm as one ought to be, praise the Lord. I'm trying to do my best to live for God. And so I just know this, that all things in my life, the littlest things, from the littlest, from the placement of a chair, all the way up to the biggest things that I could possibly think of in life, all things are ordered by the Lord. And when I mean ordered by the Lord, it doesn't mean that he determines that you have to have things just like this. And no, it's not like that at all. But the Lord will help you work it out, is what I'm saying. And so we need to focus on that, the fact that what God is doing and not what is undone. Amen. Praise the Lord. When we focus on what's undone, what we're doing is we're focusing on things that are lesser. We're not focusing on things that matter. And what God is always trying to do with us, he's always trying to build a relationship with us. God wants a closeness and a relationship with us where we actually do trust him, that we don't just say it, but we trust him, even in and especially with the small things. Because how many of you know, life isn't made up of a lot of big things, is it? Life is made up of a lot of small things. And so if we just don't think that God cares about the small things, we're going to miss all that he's doing. I mean, God does so many small things in my life that when I started recognizing it, and surely we'll get to heaven and won't even know all of them, but when I started recognizing that God's doing all these small things in my life, I started seeing him every single day. And then I started realizing, wait a minute, I have a connection with the Heavenly Father, the creator of everything, every day. And not just every day, but through moments of the day. Praise the Lord. Yesterday, I just decided, you know, I had some busy stuff I had to do in the morning, some work. But then I was going and sit down before the Lord, and I sat there, and I was still a little bit wound up from the holidays. Y'all know how it is, right? But I sat down before the Lord. I just sat there, took a minute to breathe, and started reading the Word, and just kind of started putting my heart towards Him. Which, you know, He showed up. Well, what do I mean? He just appeared before me. No, I'm not talking about Him appearing before me, but I mean His presence invaded my space. All of a sudden, His joy and His contentment filled my heart. I sat there in the chair. I had weeks worth of stress behind me, pushing at me, and all of a sudden, I sat there in the chair, and it was just all gone like that. Why? Because God will order your steps. See, God wants it. He loves the small things. He loves the details. God is a detail God. And small things are details. Amen? We have to recognize that. You know, when I used to work in a factory, and we would measure things sometimes down to almost like they would measure them down to like, I remember a common one was like 10 thousandths of an inch. If you can think about what that is, you know. You know, my pinky is about a half an inch. That's like, nowhere near, huh? Yeah, cut that up into 10 thousandths. Man, that's tiny, you know. And that was a fairly wide measurement. Amen. There was some that went down to 100 thousandths of an inch is what they were measuring to. And so, but those are details, and those details matter. Of course, I worked in the airline industry is what it was. It was making parts for airplanes and stuff like that. But those things matter when you're in flight, those minute details. And the minute details matter in our life. But, like I said, if we're focused on just the big outcome, we'll miss all those little steps along the way. We'll miss all those little things. Amen? Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God has good things for us, but we need to have our focus in the right place. Listen, we can be not satisfied in the sense of, it's scriptural to be not satisfied in the sense of being like, okay, I need to reach for more or reach higher. That's a scriptural principle. But to have that desire to reach higher for more control you, that's not scriptural. That's where it leaves what God has intended for us and gets into the realm of works or the flesh. And that's not what God has intended for us. Amen? God wants us blessed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But in most of this, we need to look right. Let's turn to 1 Timothy 6:6. Praise the Lord. Do you know most of the problems in the world, most of the problems that we see in our society, they're not hard, unsolvable problems. And most of them all relate to the same thing, and that's greed of some sort. That people, they just want their own. They're just thinking about them, amen. And so they miss the better for the sake of just what they want. And of course, the media plays on this, and politicians play on this. This is why you always see somebody running after, you know, you have see this group running over after these group. You know, in this country, you know, the politicians shouldn't be just trying to make one group happy. That's not what this country was set up for. You can't make everybody happy all the time. But, you know, what we have is we have all these divided factions of people. Well, they're for this group and they're for this group. And if you're for one group, you're not for anybody, because that's not the way that it works. Well, praise the Lord. That's free, no charge. Amen. But the church can change this. The church can change this by living according to the principles that I'm preaching today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because God has intended the church to change the world. But somewhere along the lines, the church has gotten to the place where they don't think that they're the ones that need to change the world, that they have to have the same ideas as the world and bring those into the church. And that's just backwards thinking. It's just screwing up the details. Amen? Well, praise God. 1 Timothy 6:6. Good set of scriptures here. I got to find it. Oh, there it is. Praise the Lord. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. Praise the Lord. Godliness with contentment is great gain. That does not mean, now a lot of people take these scriptures out of, praise the Lord. I want to share the scripture. Just stay right there. Hebrews 13:5, that's what I was flipping to. something says something similar. It says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, that's an interesting statement there. We see that God is saying he will never leave us nor forsake us, but he's saying it in context of being content with where you're at. Amen? Now, flip on back to first story. If you stayed there, that's good. Godliness with contentment is great gain. This is not saying that you can't strive for more, that you can't want more, desire more. There's lots of things in my life I don't have that I want. Is anyone else in that boat? Praise the Lord. But you know, I don't sit around every day going, man, I'm so bummed because I don't have it. I'm so sad because I don't have this or don't have that. Sometimes there are things that I need. Sometimes there are things that are very important to my life that would make my life easier. But I'm not sitting around crying all the time because I don't have it. I used to, though. This is the life I came out of. I used to plot and scheme and spend every day just trying to figure out how I'm going to get out of the situation I'm currently in. I mean, I would spend hours and hours and hours daydreaming of ways to get out of my current situation. You ever been there? Have you ever sat there and just dwelt on something and dwelt on something? You know, it's because your focus isn't right. My focus was off. My focus was never on God. And because it wasn't on God, I wasn't seeing his peace come into my life. And see, this is where this is the trap of things like poverty. This is a trap of sickness. This is what the devil knows, and this is why the devil loves poverty and why he loves sickness. Because oftentimes, if you are trapped in these two main things, the devil can keep you from focusing on God. Look at our country. Now, I'm not trying to get political. I'm not trying to stand on some kind of soapbox. But I'm going to tell you, and you can probably see it if you just look at it. All the problems in this country, they pretty much come down to two things, money and health. Money and health. Poverty and sickness. Right? Am I wrong? Praise the Lord. All the issues, the major issues that everybody's talking about comes down to two main things. You can point it back. You can draw a line back, and it comes to these two things. Do not think that the devil is doing something new. He's using the same tactics that he's always used. It always was the same stuff. If he can't get you with poverty, he'll get you with sickness. If he can't get you with sickness, he'll get you with poverty. That's what he tries to do. Now, I'm saying he won't be effective at it, but that's what he's going to try to do. Why? Because both of those things distract godly people from God. They distract them from, because what it does is it upsets your contentment. Because if your focus, if your contentment, if your heart is not on the things of God, if your moments, if your day-to-day moments are not on the things of God, you can get easily upset and distracted, can't you? And the more that the devil gets you into that trap, the more you'll be distracted away from God. And if you're distracted away from God, you are not going to be doing the things that God wants you to do. You are not going to be building a relationship with God. You are not going to be after it because your mind's distracted on other stuff. It doesn't have to be just money and health. It could be a lot of things, but those are, I found, is just the two main things. Amen? Praise the Lord. It's the absolute truth. We see it all through history. It's all through the world. It's not just in our country. But the devil is trying to upset Christians. He's trying to distract them from their real help, which is just being in that place of contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. You can be content and not godly. There's some people that are. Buddhist monks have found out ways to be content with nothing. You know, you have these monks that live, they take vows of poverty. Gandhi took a vow of poverty and was content in that. Amen? But it wasn't godly. Why? Because it wasn't after this God. Amen? Now, some people might get bothered by that, but it's the truth. It's just the truth. If Gandhi didn't accept Jesus before he died, he didn't go to heaven, no matter how content he was. So we understand that there's two main points here. Godliness and contentment is great gain. Notice that the Bible says it's great gain. See, one of the things, if you could put an ear or be a fly on the wall in my conversations with my wife, or my close friends, or the other pastors, one of the things that you will often hear me talk about is how the thing that most people are after, whatever thing that is, they don't realize that they would find that if they just got faithful to God. Yeah. The answer is always in God. Like so many people are out there, they'll give you reasons why they can't be faithful to church or faithful to God, but the thing that they're chasing is the thing that God would just order right into their lives. Yeah. I said he would just order it right into their lives. It'd be easy. Because people are always chasing a lesser thing. Yeah. They're always focused on the lesser thing. Listen, if you're in a place where you don't have enough to meet your needs in your own finances, where is your focus? If you'll turn your focus to God, He will ensure that that will come by and come to pass. If you're at a place where your health isn't where it should be, if you put your focus on God and not on the sickness, you know, a lot of people do this. They say, I'm believing for this, I'm believing for that. They're not really believing for it. What they're doing is they just want that, and they say that's what their faith is on. Yeah. They're not. If you're really believing for, listen, if you really believe God, then you're not going to sit there dwelling on it. You'll just claim what the Word says, and you'll move on with your day. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. And verse 6, it says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out." Now, see, some people will take these scriptures, and they'll try to turn it and say, see, God doesn't want you to have anything. God wants you poor. That is not what these scriptures are saying. And if we read them in context, we'll understand that. Praise the Lord. But desire to be rich, amen. Now that word desire means to will deliberately, have a purpose, be minded, or as an affection. So if your purpose in life is to be rich, that's what this is talking about. Yeah. He's not saying that it's wrong to desire nice things. Where in Scripture does it say that it's wrong to have nice things? The Bible says that God will, He'll bless the work of our hands. Why would He bless the work of our hands if He didn't want us to have nice things? Excuse me. Why would God, you know, have all these scriptures? Why would He given all these scriptures about increase and the desire to gain more if that was an issue with Him? It's not an issue with Him. Why would God make Solomon the richest man that ever lived? Simply because Solomon decided, and there's one of the greatest examples of exactly what I'm saying. God came to Solomon and He said, ask whatever you desire because you've done right before me, right? Solomon looked at Him and He didn't say, I want $1 million. He didn't look at Him and say, I want a kingdom. He looked at Him and He said, help me lead your people. He put His focus on God's people, and God said, because you chose that, I'm going to make you rich. Well, praise the Lord. That's a pretty good thing, right? Bible tells us that every scripture is given so that we can learn something from it. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean that God's going to make everyone in this room the richest person that lives. That's not what it's saying at all. But it's not saying it's wrong to be rich. Amen. Jesus said it's harder for a rich man to go through a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to get to heaven. And then the disciples looked at Him and said, well, what do you mean by that? And He said, let me rephrase that. He said, it's harder for one who trusts in riches to get into heaven than it is for, you know what I mean? He rephrased it. Why? Because it was important to see what He was saying for them to understand. He knew what it was the whole time. But the same thing. He's talking about contentment. It's being at peace. Amen. And it is certain that we can carry nothing out. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare. Amen. Now, this is a really important thing to understand. This is exactly what I've been talking about. Those who desire these things, those who desire things that they don't have, that make it their aim, their goal. Again, I asked, if I went around this room and I said, what do you believe in God for? I went to each one of you and said, what do you believe in God for? I can almost guarantee you that most Christians in most churches that believe in God for anything, it's going to be on some kind of thing. I'm believing God for my healing. I'm believing God for my mortgage to be paid. I'm believing God for my kids to serve God. I'm believing God for this. I'm believing God for that. It's all in stuff. It's all in things. If you just follow God, He will lead you into all of that. Lead you into whatever your heart's desire is. Psalm 37 tells us that He gives us the desires of our heart. When our focus is on Him, when our trust is in Him. When our trust is in Him, we're not looking for it because we know it shows up. That object that I was talking about, that I've been talking about with my wife, like I know it's coming. I just know it's coming. I don't have to, like, I'm not releasing faith for it, saying, oh, Lord, I believe you for this thing. Yeah. No, I just know that it's coming. Why? Because I serve God and He blesses me. I honor God. I do my best to follow after God and He blesses me for it. He just moves up. There's stuff that comes in my life I never even asked for. There's stuff that I wanted that I just, yeah, oh, praise God, hallelujah. You know, it was a few weeks ago, we were going to Corey, and the Lord spoke to me about something specific. I can't remember exactly what I was thinking about, but the Lord spoke to me as I was driving to Corey, and He said, why won't you let me bless you? That's what He said to me. Why won't you let me bless you? And He was saying it in context because I wouldn't receive the blessing. Now, and there's more to that, but I'm not going to get into that right now for the sake of time. But just the other day, my wife and I went to, two of our kids went to, we were at an art museum, and there was this thing that I saw at the art museum in the gift shop. It was a piece of art that I really, really liked. But it was one of those things, it was kind of like a trinket. It's like something that you know, most people wouldn't spend any kind of money on. Most people, you know, unless you really liked it or something like that, you know, but most people wouldn't be valuable to even. But it was something that I just really liked. I wasn't asking for it, but my wife knew that I was really liking it. And she turned to me, and this thing was expensive. In my mind was quite pricey. And my wife turned to me and she said, she's like, what do you like the most? You know, I was like, oh, I like this one. She's like, we're going to buy it. And I'm like, no. I started instantly. In fact, so much so that she got to the point, she was like, I was kind of being jerky. She's like, he doesn't even want it. Like, he's being kind of jerky about it, you know, but it wasn't that. I was having a hard time receiving it. I was like, wait a minute. I was like, if we're going to spend X number of dollars on something, maybe I'll go buy this and this. But then the Lord started dealing with my heart on something, started showing me something. See, I didn't know this, but well, the Lord had inspired her to buy that for me. She had taken money that she had gotten from Christmas, and she decided to buy it for me. Buy me something ridiculous. She decided to buy me something ridiculous is what it was. Yeah, I mean, if I showed you what it was and told you how much she paid for it, you'd probably be like, oh. Right? But it blessed me to see it. It blessed me. I liked it. And the Lord started speaking to me and connected it back to that day when I was going to Corey and said, see, I just want to do things for you just because I love you. Just because I love you. Just because it made you happy. Just because it made you smile. I wanted to see it. That's the same. Her heart, of course, was pure and the same thing. But I was having a hard time receiving it because I was like, well, if we're going to spend this much money on something, I'm going to go get these other things that I wanted. But it's not about those things. You see, God is trying to show a point here that He just wants to bless us. It's not so much about the thing. The thing doesn't matter. He doesn't give a rip what it is. You know what I mean? One time God, literally, I was driving down the road. I had just dropped them off for Sunday school. It was when we went to the Jamestown Church. I was driving to get a coffee because I was ushering, so I started early, and so I didn't go to the Sunday school because I was working, amen. Not working, you know, working for God, hallelujah. And so I decided I was going to get a coffee, and I was driving down this road, and I love blue herons. I think they're the coolest thing. Whenever I see one, I get really super blessed. I don't know why, I just did. And so I'm just driving down. You know, one of the things about blue herons, you always see them by water because they're fishermen by trade, amen. That's what they do. And so I'm just driving down this road in the country, you know, in the hills of Chautauqua County, just driving to get a coffee, and I turn this corner, and right there in a field, randomly, was this blue heron standing right by the side of the road. And instantly the Lord spoke to my heart and said, I put that there for you. Just because He knew it'd bless me. He made sure that was there. Now I don't know how He did it. I don't know how He did it, I don't care. But He had that bird stand there just so I could see it, because for that one moment it blessed me. That's the God we serve. That now you might not believe that. You might have a hard time with that. You're going to be a person that's going to have a real hard time getting blessed. See, because that's the point, is when God truly wants to bless us, so often we fight and rail against it. God has given us the local church to bless us, and yet we'll fight and rail against it. He's given us pastors to help lead us into that place of blessing, and yet we'll fight and rail against it. The pastor will preach a message. Last night I preached a message about putting a premium on the word and how we should, when we hear the word, we should never be saddened by it, even if it's corrective. Why? Because God's given us the word to bless us. He's given us the word to bless humanity, praise the Lord. He's given us the word to make us better people. Hallelujah. Now, some people don't like hearing that. Some religious people get really mad at this kind of talk. Praise the Lord. If you're religious, well, I'm sorry. Change. Because it's no fun being where you're at. It's no fun having to stick up your butt. I'm just telling you the truth. This is where a lot of people's faith is. They have stick up. You know what I'm talking about. I didn't swear. I didn't say. I just said it's the truth. I said what we all thought when you saw a real hyper, uber religious person that just looks like, you know, their nose is in the air and they just can't, you know. You talk about, all through the Bible talks about joy and love and peace and all these things. And people walking around stiff-necked and just sour-faced Christians, you know. Oh, they praised in church. I don't want to go to that church anymore because they said that was weird. Why is it weird that we praise in a place where God has saved us, changed us, has done so much for us? Why is it weird that we praise Him? Why is that weird? You know why it's weird? Because the devil wants it to be weird to you. It's weird to people when they come into a place that is joyful for everything that God has done. Glory to God. I'll tell you what, if you had my life, you got my new life, you'd be praising and happy and stupid excited too. Hallelujah. That's exactly how I feel. I'm so giddy sometimes. Amen? Because God has changed my life. God wants the whole purpose of the word. Yes. Praise the Lord. The whole purpose of the word is to change lives. Yes. How do we know that? John 8, 31 and 32. If you abide in His word, you will be set free. What are you going to be set free from? Whatever binds you. Yes. Praise the Lord. The word changes. If it's not changing, then someone isn't connected to the word. I want the change. I'm okay with change. Praise the Lord. We need to be okay with change. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know how you got me on all that, but it was good. Praise the Lord. But those who desire to be rich fall into a temptation. I want to read out of this Bible. But those who desire to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts. Look at this. Which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. I want to say this again, and I want to correct what so many people are erroneously saying. Well, you know, money is the root of all evil. The Bible does not say that money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. So we see this, that the love of money, the desire to, the insatiable thirst for money. Listen, you don't have to be rich to have an insatiable thirst for money. In fact, when I was poor, when I had nothing, when we couldn't pay our bills, when we couldn't pay attention, when we were so poor that when I'd get the kids, I'd have to go to my mom's house just to feed them. I had one little heater that my Aunt Jean gave me. It was broken. You've heard the story. Propped up on books. That's what I heated my apartment with. And that's all that I heated my apartment with. I'm going to tell you something. I thought about money all the time. What is that? That's the love of money. Just because you're rich doesn't mean that you have a love of money. Poor people have a love of money too, if that's what their focus is. If your focus of your day is how do I get more, guess what your affection's on? Money. That's what it is. That's where your affection is. And that's why you will not have, that's why God can't bless you, because you're pushing it off, you're staving it off, because your affection is there and not on Him. It needs to be on Him. Praise the Lord. See, so many people have this idea that just being rich makes you a bad person or something like that. But poverty does the same thing. I mean, yeah, there's plenty of rich people out there that have stolen, but you know what? Most people who rob a bank, they're not doing it because they don't need money. Most people that hold up a convenience store, they're not doing it because they don't need money. Most people who steal from family members or stuff like that, most of them are not people that they just are just loaded. Yeah, sure, we have movies like The Thomas Crown Affair where you got some rich guy who's just, you know, he just wants more. He just wants more adventure, so he goes out and thieves. But you understand, all that stuff is evil, right? Praise the Lord. Where is it birthed out of? A love of money. An insatiable thirst for more. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Christians, we shouldn't be doing that. We are of the faith camp. We teach faith. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We get excited about faith in this camp. But can I let you in on a little secret? There's a lot of people in the faith camp that need a slap upside the head because what they're doing is they're always believing God for stuff. What can I get more of? What can I believe God? Listen, you should just learn to trust God and He will move it into your presence. Hallelujah. That's what true faith is. True faith isn't sitting around going, all right, we got to pay this bill, so let's all put our faith on that. No, the Bible says to don't even worry about that. He said, don't even look at it. He said, just look at me and just believe it'll come to pass. Yeah. Do what I tell you to do and just trust me and it'll happen. Yeah. Do you know that's how God has increased us and how he continues to increase us? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. This is the truth of God. I love that the truth will set you free. If you get hooked up with the truth. But you have to look at things the way that it is. But again, we're focused on stuff. We're focused on minutes. We're focused on, or not focused on it, I should say. We're focused on the things that don't really matter instead of focus on what God's doing. Amen? Yeah. We miss opportunity all the time. I've actually had Christians come to me and start telling me about something, and I think, oh my God, there's opportunity. And then they say what they didn't do, and I'm like, oh my Lord, they completely missed the opportunity. Do you know how many missed opportunities there are to do the will of God, to do the plan of God, to help somebody, and we miss it because our mind is on something else? Yeah, absolutely. You know, I had this happen recently to me. I was, praise the Lord, I was stuck, literally stuck. I was plowing some snow with my four-wheeler, and one of the things about four-wheelers is, you know, they bottom out easy when you get too much snow underneath them. Well, I got to that place where I plowed. I came in fast at a pile, went up over the pile, and got to the place where there's a lot of snow built up under the four-wheeler, and the wheels just spin, you know. Didn't matter if you had four wheels, four-wheel drive, didn't matter. They all spun. Amen? And so I'm sitting there spinning, and then all of a sudden, I'm stuck. So I'm going to grab a shovel, and I'm just kind of focused on this. You know, obviously, I'm not thinking real godly thoughts or anything. I wasn't swearing or anything like that. I wasn't like, you know, I was just like focused on the task at hand, getting my butt unstuck, you know. And so I'm sitting there digging, and all of a sudden, the mailman comes by, and he pulls up in the driveway, and he says, And I've never talked to him before. You know, he's a rural carrier, you know, in the car, so I don't really get to see him, just wave or whatever. But I've never got to talk to him before. And, you know, he pulls in, and he's like, hey, you want me to pull you out? And I'm like, well, sure, you know. I was like, okay, that, you know, but I'm still kind of thinking about how to get this. You know, I'm thinking about getting it out, and I don't want to inconvenience anybody or whatever. So he gets a tow strap out or a little ratchet strap and hooks it to the four-wheeler, hooks it to his car, goes to pull me out, strap breaks. It was an old strap, didn't mean anything, you know. It was just a probably cheap strap to begin with anyways, but you could tell it was well-worn, and it broke, but I still felt bad, you know, because he broke it. Trying to pull my four-wheeler. We ended up getting it out, you know, and I said, oh, I'm Jeff, by the way, and he said, you know, he gave me his name and stuff, and then, you know, he goes, you're the pastor of the church, aren't you? And I said, you know, and I just said, instantly, I was like, yeah, you know, and I just kind of let it go with that, and it was this awkward moment. And I was like, because I was so focused on the four-wheeler and everything that was just in the broken strap and all this stuff, I totally missed the opportunity. I don't know this guy. Maybe he's a Christian. Maybe he's not. Maybe he's looking for a church. I don't know. I didn't even get a chance to pry into that because I was focused in the wrong area. But, you know, the Lord, I believe the Lord redeemed it because, you know, one of the things that I've learned from God is that if you want to reach people, be good to them. The best way to reach people is being good to them. The best way to reach somebody is being good to somebody, especially ones that are not good to you. Now, he was good to me, but I wanted to be. So, you know what I did? The Lord put this on my heart. I'm not taking any credit for it whatsoever. I just followed God. But I went to Home Depot. I bought a set of four ratchet straps, and I waited. Because I'm going to wait for it. Praise the Lord. And so I had them in the back of my Jeep, and we were driving. It was one, like, Christmas Eve or something. We were on our way somewhere, and we're driving down the road, and I see him, and I start stopping him up. Caleb, is there straps in me? He finally reached back, got straps, and I reverse all the way up the road, and this guy probably think I'm nuts. And I'm like, hey, man, how's it going? You know, and this time I poured it on. You know, I like showing him who I really am, praise the Lord. And I'm like, hey, man. I was like, hey, I just wanted to, I got you these. And he's like, whoa, man, you didn't have to do that. You know, it was just a, but see, this is my point. My point saying that is there was almost a missed opportunity there because, you know, we should be looking for opportunity to reach people and everybody. But if we're so distracted by our own stuff, listen, you say, well, you were just tied up with the forward. Yes, but was I at peace? And the truth is, and the thing that I want to get over to you is that in that moment, I wasn't content. I wasn't at peace. Do you know there's people that can be at such peace, even in the face of adversity, but they still just, they flow with God. Yeah. That is the goal. Yeah. The goal is that nothing can move you because everything is opportunity. Yeah. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for the good to those who love God. Praise the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. all things work together for the good. Something bad happens in your life? See, if you're a Christian who thinks right, it's just opportunity. Something bad happens? I mean, think of the worst. I'm not saying that God makes orchestrates everything to happen, but the Bible does promise us that if we love God, if we work according to His schedule, praise the Lord, that all those things, even though He didn't put them there, but He'll make them all work for us. Hallelujah! God will make all things. So even that really stinky thing that happened, getting your four-wheeler stuck, being up there spinning wheel, all that stuff, it will work for you. How do we know? You don't know when, praise God, hallelujah, you don't know. Some of the people that have ended up being the greatest blessings in our lives were ones that we had to work for. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. There's so many times where it'll be the, actually my wife and I were that, to tell you the truth. We were not the ones that anyone looked at and thought, man, they'll do right by God. They'll do right by the pastors. They'll do anything. But I'm the one that my pastor calls on every single time. He didn't think that. You thought I was a head case. And I was a head case. But see, there was something in there. It was untapped potential. And if he just overlooked that, if he wasn't willing to flow, he would have completely missed that. Praise the Lord. And so we see that there's always, you know, we have to look at life as opportunity. We have to look at those moments in the day as opportunity. We have to look at what's happening right now. And maybe you're in a struggle right now. But you know this, if you're a faithful Christian, your struggle, God will make it into something good. God will make it into something that will bless other people. Your struggle, the thing you're, so if you can start looking at your struggle like that, I'm going to tell you what. When you look at, okay, the struggle is before you. The pain, the suffering is before you. And you look at it and you say, God will make this better for me. He will make this work for me. So whatever the devil meant for bad, remember Joseph? Whatever the devil meant for bad, God will make it good if you trust him, if you love him. Because there's plenty of Christians that don't, and they never see the fruition of it. See, that's Romans 8:28. It says, to those who love God. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do what I asked you to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I am preaching myself happy today. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some, having strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I am going to repeat this. It is not just rich people who have a love of money. It is poor people too. It is medium people, medium rich people. It is medium poor people. It doesn't matter where you're at. The love of money can hit anybody. There is nothing in your current financial situation that says whether or not you have a love of money. It's how you respond or act towards either an abundance of it, a desire for more of it, whatever it is. Praise God. Glory to God. It goes on to say, but you, O man of God or woman of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith. Oh, I love that. Faith, what is it? Trust in God. Yeah. Trust God. Like if you trust God, you don't have a lack. Right. I'm just telling you the truth. Right. The Bible says that if you trust God, you have no lack. You have everything you ever need. Amen. If you have a lack in your life, if you're looking around saying we have a lack in our life, you're somebody who don't trust God. Because the Bible says that if you trust God, you don't have lack. Like, I understand how it can be perceived. In the moment, you could be without. It doesn't look like you have anything. But if you know that in Christ you have everything, then the nothing that's presenting itself before you is just an opportunity. It's just an opportunity. It's an opportunity to just trust God. We are in a situation. Listen, 2019, in both our personal lives and in this church, was plenty of situation to just trust God. There was times this year where the weekly offering went down below what it was when we were in the building, when we were in the storefront uptown. When we were in the storefront uptown, the payments that we had were less than half of what we have now, and we didn't have another church. Yeah. Praise the Lord that we were paying for. But that's just the way that it is. But we just trust God. We just continue to believe God for it. Why do I bring that up? I don't bring that up to say, because we go forward no matter what it looks like. Praise the Lord. And see, this is what a lot of people don't understand. They don't understand that their faithfulness is attached to things. Yes. Right? My wife just preached about that. Praise the Lord. But people don't get that. And sometimes people don't care about that. How do we know people don't care? Because if they don't change, they don't care. Right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But the point that I'm trying to make is that God will, he will do it through faithful people. The faithful people may not have enough in the moment, but it's opportunity to believe God for more, to trust God further and to say, you know what? It doesn't matter. You might not go with me into the blessing, but we're going there. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And there's a group of us that are going. Hallelujah. Amen. What's the group? Anybody who wants to go? Anybody who says, hey, I'm on board with that. I know this is God's vision and I'm going there. Hallelujah to the other side. Praise the Lord. You know, God does things. You know, there's people that measure success in all kinds of different ways. I try to measure success the way that God measures success. What is that? Like, is there real fruit? Are we doing the work that God has told us to do? Listen, it doesn't matter. There was plenty of times. Paul rebuked people He said, these people had to support me because you weren't doing it. Paul did it too. I'm not afraid to do it. I don't even really care. I don't care if you like it or you don't like it. It doesn't matter to me one way or the other. My job is to preach the word and is to help people. Those who get connected will get help. It always came through for Paul. Why? Because the Lord delivered him out of it all. Why? Because he was faithful. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And if we're faithful, if you're faithful, then you'll just keep going. We'll just keep going into the blessing of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we pursue faith, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Praise the Lord. Those are the things that a righteous person, a true Christian should be pursuing. And then it goes on to say in verse 12, and this is really where I'm trying to get to here. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called. And have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Amen? You notice it doesn't say fight the good fight of believing for stuff. It doesn't say fight the good fight of believing for your healing. It doesn't say fight the good fight of getting over this next mountain. It doesn't say that, does it? It says fight the good fight of faith. What is the good fight of faith? Trusting God. Believing Him and His Word. Knowing that God will always come through for you because that's who God is. He is my Heavenly Father that takes care of me no matter what. No matter what. My God always takes you. Listen, I don't know what you think about God, but I know what I think about God. And the more that I learn about God, the more I got to think it. And I'll tell you why the more I got to think it is because the more real He becomes to me, the more I'm looking at my life and going, duh, why didn't I just get it before? I could have saved myself years. Like, I worked a job. We all know, my family all knows. How many years did I work that job I hate? 13
and a half.
How many? 13 and a half. Was it 13.2? No, it was 13 and a half. Hallelujah. They all know it. I spent 13 and a half years miserable. Hated every single day. Hated it. I did it for my family. I did. Now, I'll tell you this. I didn't just leave my job because family to support. And so I did what was necessary. I hated life for 13 and a half years. Every Sunday afternoon, you can ask my wife, she would start feeling it. I'd start slipping in the deep dark hole that was my depression because I knew where I had to go the next day. I couldn't stand it. I hated every single minute that I was there for 13 and a half years. I remember exactly how long it was because I hated it so badly. But I didn't have to spend it like that. I spent it like that because I didn't know faith yet. I spent it like that because my head was wrapped up on things that didn't matter yet. See, I was focused in areas. I was always trying to plot and scheme. How do I get out of this? How do I get out? If I had just followed God, He'd have taken me right out. But see, God will let you be in a place to stew for a little while until you learn. God's okay with that. He'll let you sit there in your pile of snarf just long enough so you get it, praise the Lord. And so sometimes, maybe if you keep going back around the same pole, the same tree, you keep coming back to the same place, maybe you need to check up on what you're doing. Because if you're in the same garbage, if you're in the same pile of poo, praise the Lord, God will get you out of it if you want to go. But you got to want to go. And to go, you're going to have to let go of some things. Praise the Lord. One of the greatest songs that ever came out of Disney was Let It Go. Because that's what people need to do. They need to let it go. You need to let go of yourself. You need to let go of what you think. You need to let go of who you think you are or what you don't think you have. You need to let go of you and get connected to something that's greater than you. Because guess what? You ain't ever going to get there anyways. You ain't ever going to be able to do it on your own. How do I know that? Because the Bible doesn't say, I can do all things through me who strengthens me. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise the Lord. When you look at your neighbor and they're saying, oh, everything's always bad. It's always sad. It's always hurt, worthless. It's always painful. Let go of you. Yeah. Come to church. Learn about a God who will take you out of all your stuff. But if you want to sit in your stuff, then God will let you sit there. Yeah. He will let you sit there until you learn, or even if you don't learn. Some people never learn. But God will let you sit there. Amen. So that's the other side of our God. He's a good God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. He wants us to get out. He wants us to get the other side. But we're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. The good fight of faith is not standing, is not saying, oh, I'm going to beat up the devil. I got to fight the devil. No, it's not any of that stuff. It's just keeping yourself trusting God. Keeping yourself in the place to say, my God always provides. Why? Because the Philippians 4:19 says, but listen, this is connected to people who are faithful to God. Philippians 4:19 does not count towards the person who doesn't tithe. Listen, I'm just telling you the truth. If you don't tithe, if you purposely avoid offering time because you don't, praise the Lord, because you don't want to feel bad about it. Listen, Philippians 4:19, you say, what does Philippians 4:19 say? Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Who did Paul say that to? The people that just gave. Yeah, he didn't say that to the people that weren't giving. He said, because you did this, God will supply all your need. But see, we have to connect to the things of God. We have to say, oh, praise the Lord. We have to connect to what God's doing and saying, yes, I want to be part. It means something to me. I'm not just going to tip God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know why I can preach so boldly about this? Because I do it. There's no service that we sit in that we don't give an offering, at least. And we always tithe on every penny that comes into our house. Even if it's a gift, we tithe on it. Why? Because we are faithful to God. You want to know why God blesses my life? You know, want to know why we don't have a little space heater propped up on books anymore? Because we tithe. Because we give. Because we get after. Oh, God, praise God. Hallelujah. You better tie me down. I might just go after it here. Praise the Lord. I'm just telling you the truth. See, listen, we have to be done getting offended when the word is preached. If you're offended by this, it's because you don't put a premium on the word. Stop getting offended and sitting in your mess. Because that's exactly what you are. When you're a person that sits in church and gets offended at the word that's being preached, you are a person that is sitting in your dirty diaper refusing somebody to allow it to get changed. You need to clean yourself up and stop being one of those poopy Christians. Because they're no fun. They're not Christians that are blessed. They're not Christians that bless church. Stop being a poopy Christian. Notable quote. Write it down. Praise the Lord. We got this. Hallelujah. Listen, folks. It's time that we just as people, that we rise above the stuff that holds us back. Let's focus on what God is doing right now. For God's sakes, he's done so much already. Praise the Lord. He took people like us. Brought us out of where we're at, put us on a course that's just increasing and increasing. When I'm saying increasing, I'm not talking about our finances or pocketbooks or none of that stuff. What I'm talking about, everything in life gets better. I love it. Man, today I woke up, I took a shower, and I dried myself off with a towel that was so, I almost felt wrong for using it. Because it was so fluffy and nice. Praise the Lord. You know how many times I've used towels with holes that were ripped in it? Nice towel, and I didn't almost want to use it because it was so nice. That's an increase. God's blessing us. He blessed my wife with that, and I didn't even have to get the... I just get blessed because she gets blessed. Amen. Praise the Lord. But that's the way that it should be, amen? Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Fight the good fight of faith. Glory to God. Listen to this. You don't qualify for more until you appreciate what you have. There's a story I'll tell you to you real quick of this man that was believing God for a new bed. He had a terrible bed that was broken and uncomfortable and all this stuff. And he was, Lord, why can't you just get me a bed? And the Lord spoke to him and said, you haven't thanked me for the one you got yet. Well, what is he saying? He's like, on the floor. So sleeping on a bed's better than the floor. So you got his corrected. Correction. Amen. Praise the Lord. Till you appreciate what you have, you aren't going in. Look around you and see the moments. Still look at your moments. Look around you and see what you got. Maybe you don't have a lot, but you got something. Praise the Lord. I remember that my wife and I, we would look at each other and we say, maybe we don't have anything, but at least we have each other. That was something. And that was a blessing. And that was a focus that we learned to focus on. And when you focus on what you have and what God's doing, he'll do more. Because his desire is to do more. Look at what you got. Look at what look at it from the right side of, you know what I'm saying? The right side of things. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ephesians, we're going to close here. Ephesians 5:15. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5:15. I'm going to read this and I'm going to translate it. You might not need it translated, but I certainly did. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So I got in and I broke that all down because I really wanted to understand it. And this is what it says. See then that you walk accurately and intelligently, not as fools but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are full of hardships. We make the most of the time. We make the most of what we have. We look at what we focus on, what God is doing. Walk wisely, intelligently. You see what we're saying? You got to focus on what matters, the moments that matters. You focus on the things that God is doing. Of course, Philippians 4, chapter 4, and 6, 7, 8, 9, in there it talks about all this. Praise the Lord. To focus, put your focus on the right things. Folks, you may have had a hard year. You may have had a hard life. But we're about to turn over into 2020. Hallelujah. 2020 is a new beginning. Not only is it a new year, but it's also a new decade. And I know that by my God, I know things have been prophesying that 2020 is going to be something big. Hallelujah. So I don't know about my pastor's calling it the Roaring Twenties. I like that. I think that's neat. I'm going to call it the Roaring Twenties too. You might as well just join with me. But there's things that God has for us. We have to know that going forward, that God wants to do more. He wants to do bigger. But we have to appreciate what he's done already. We have to appreciate where we're at. If you're drawing breath, the devil has not gotten through to you yet. Because that's exactly what he's trying to do, is kill you. That's what he wants to do. But if he has not been successful, then that means that you're still walking in the blessing of God. You have to decide whether or not you're going to continue in it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.